The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. This is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, DK Network. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, producer number 9. So much more than a producer. Live from Barcanada here at the D. How you doing, man? You good?
Doing well. How about you?
What a day yesterday.
Yeah.
What a sports cavalcade of a day.
It was. Sure was.
From doing a numbers game in the morning, then doing the Megapod with the great Brent Musburger, headed over to T-Mobile, as you did, to watch the Pacers in a great basketball game beat the Bucks yesterday. Then went home to watch that football game, which we'll get to momentarily. Did you stay for both games?
I stayed for both games. I left early in the second one.
You did? Well, for frostbite?
It got out of hand. Ah, jeez. I mean, when you texted me that yesterday, I'm sitting up in the media.
So we're sitting in different places in the arena
sitting
yesterday.
Up in the media area, like unknowingly doing this for like 20 minutes. And then I looked down at my phone and Gil's got text me. He's like, is it cold in here? Is it just me? And I'm like, I'm freezing.
It was so cold. It wasn't like hockey game cold. It was like, oh, they put the wood over. Yeah, I know. We've all been to arenas.
That's what I thought.
Where it was multi-purpose.
I thought it was hockey game.
No, I had the wind, like the air conditioned wind blowing on us. And in a really, it was so cold.
Yeah, the other one that Mitch Moss brought up that I didn't really notice at the time, but then, yeah, like absolutely watching it on TV and stuff, just like the stands being so dark.
So dark.
Like that was a little odd. I don't really get the point of it.
Dark and it was almost like people were prepared for the cold because like people were wearing hoodies and like parkas,
really?
Parka vests.
I mean,
yes.
It was like 70 degrees outside.
It was unbelievable. Anyway, it was great. That game was great. And the Pacers do beat the Bucks as the Lakers then crush the Pelicans. And so that's your final tomorrow night for this in-season tournament where the Lakers are 4.5-point favorites against the young legs, the high flying and Pacers, Tyrese Haliburton for the casual fan, the coming out party for him to everybody who isn't aware of him. And by the way, when you look back, Bob Myers, formerly of the Warriors, was on. He laments not having drafted Haliburton. Haliburton went 12 to the Kings. Of course, then they traded him in the Sabonis trade. But, you know, that was the year where the Warriors took Wiseman second. Man, oh, man. Man, oh, man. So good on that. It was just that game stayed under. So for those of us who had the under in the first half and the full game.
I did first half. That's what I ended up doing.
Bro, it still ended up with 247 points in the end. Yeah. Like it almost got there. 128 to 119. But
the Bucks have a problem. I've been slow to finally get there because you know how much I love Giannis. You know how much I love Dame.
Giannis was not happy afterwards.
And I knew the defense was going to take a step back in trade of offense, extra offense this year. But man, that game, like the first half, the Pacers had no right heading into halftime with that lead that they had in the first half. It is the lackadaisical approach on transition defense. And so it was such easy buckets for Indy in that first half.
Is that only a Bucks problem or is that a league-wide problem?
A little bit of league-wide, but it's a Bucks problem. I hear what you're saying, yes, and Indiana's always going to look to take advantage of that. Yep. That's how they play. They're never going to slow down. They're always going to try to push that pace. But
yeah,
the Bucks, if they're going to stay competitive here, you got to fix. What I always said was you're going to trade Dame. Okay, you might have to have perimeter defensive problems, but you still have Brooke Lopez and Giannis Antetokounmpo guarding the rim. You shouldn't be giving up buckets at the rim, and they are.
How many times yesterday did we see the Bucks score and then, like, Obi Toppin would score within 3 seconds on the other side of the court?
Exactly, yes. The Bucks grind out a half-court possession, get a bucket, and then Indy easily lobs one up for an easy bucket. It's going to be an issue for Milwaukee going forward. That's
come
for
sure. On, Pacers. I have no confidence in the Pacers. I have no confidence in the Pacers being able to win this game because I feel like LeBron is so motivated. LeBron just played only 22 minutes yesterday.
Yeah.
And just check out the box score, just crushing him. So Lakers Pacers, $500,000 a player. And I just will say this one last time. I got a Pacers future. I'm excited for it. I hope they get there. Not confident. Again, one of these bets where I spent 5 seconds thinking about it. So I can't really like say, oh, I was such a genius. It was really a 5 second thought to Pacers 18-1 where they were in the in-game standings at that point. I think they were 2-0 at that moment, looked at the schedule. And they can just, they have a puncher's chance in every game because they can outshoot you. But I will just say this, just Adam Silver deserves credit. This ended up being awesome. You look down at the sidelines when this game was going on, and the Pacers bench, everybody was standing like it was a college game, watching their more veteran teammates try to win $500,000 for all of them.
Yeah, it was awesome.
It was awesome.
Yeah, it's been great. And it's really great, I think, to see LeBron buy into it. Yep. These guys, buy the stars buy into it. And just finishing up the thought of that Pacers Bucks to the yeah, you know, there were reports afterward. Bobby Portis was going nuts in the locker room after the game, yelling at players and coaches. I don't know if Adrian Griffin's going to make it through this season. Team is way too talented for the to be having these types of problems.
He also has that. This is completely subjective, but when there's shots of him during the game, he doesn't look like he has like a grasp of the moment.
I don't. And the whole, you know, he's losing respect already through this season because he's kind of deferring to whatever the players want to do.
Oh, you can't do that. Can't do that.
By the way, the moment of the night for me last night was in between the games, was walking by, and I kind of did like me and JVT went out on the court and stuff in between the games, and then walked back into the tunnel, and there's poor Robin Lopez, who obviously didn't see much playing time, but he's like on a Peloton in the tunnel, like going a million miles an hour, listening to a book on tape. And I was like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen.
It's awesome.
Right now. But like,
I had to thaw out. I thawed out. I went over to watch the football game. And then that brings us to the NFL game. Again, instead of a total of 257.5, a total of 30 between the Patriots and the Steelers. And oh boy, what a disaster for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Those that have Steelers in any kind of bet in the future, certainly in this game, obviously, but any kind of bet in the future, a Mike Tomlin coach of the year, if that was hanging on a thread to begin with, I mean, it is all out the window, it feels like now. It's certainly in the precarious life support category. Steelers lose outright as 5.5-point closing favorites to the Patriots, 21-18. I assume everybody saw the stat. Not only forced the game go over in the first half, and Al Michaels proclaiming, if you like the over, they've also answered the call. Very clever. But this is a game where the stat that is the incriminating one. First time, that the team trailed by 18 plus points in consecutive home games. First time a Steelers team did. And then the first above 500 team to lose consecutive games to teams eight plus games under 500 ever in the history of the National Football League. Somehow the Steelers, who were 7-4 and had these two games in consecutive weeks, just ready to win these games and go 9-4. Obviously, you didn't even need the magic beans for these games. Instead, they're 7-6. And Kelly Bidlin's underplays on the Steelers are suddenly alive.
My alt under's still alive, technically.
Yes.
7.5. I don't want to be that guy. Is there anything surprising about that too, though? Like,
nothing,
the Steelers team
whatsoever.
Has been the record.
They are who we thought they
exactly.
were.
Exactly.
Like,
they are who we thought they
That's
are.
That's right.
The record has disguised this team, especially over the past month, 6 weeks. I watched all of one quarter of this game, Gil. Bailey Zappi's stat line is far more shocking to me than the Steelers just losing this game. Yet everybody's making it seem like this. Oh my God! How could the Steelers lose this game?
Their playoff probability goes from 74% 2 weeks ago before the Arizona game to 56% before this game to 36% now, according to playoff probability stats. They lose the consecutive games to Arizona, New England. Zappi was great in the first half, but at the end, 21-18. In case you missed it, this is from Daniel Valente. This puts it in perspective. Stats guy Daniel over at The Score. He says, after halftime, the Steelers allowed 0 points, 84 total yards, 3 first downs, and forced a turnover and blocked a punt. That still wasn't enough for the offense to come back from an 11-point deficit. And the final moment, really the not the final, final moment, but the final moment of consequence in this game, 4th and 2 for the Steelers, 4th and 2, they're down 3 points. There's 2:01 to go. They need 2 yards, and Trubisky goes for the home run to Deontay Johnson. And so the game ends. It didn't end because they got the ball back, you know, with mere seconds left back all the way back in their own territory with 15 seconds to go at their own 13. And even two big chunks wasn't going to matter, which is what happened. But to go for the home run there, it was such a deflating end of the game. If you wanted any kind of drama, yep. You're like, did he really just end the game on that? That's what. And Richard Sherman was going crazy about how George Pickens is just out there and unused. This great receiver that just doesn't get utilized by that team at all.
Pickens hasn't been happy about that.
Right? No.
Tomlin likes that, though. He likes it.
Okay, all it did was take 2 weeks to take the shine off Tomlin. Will Hill texts this morning. He goes, Tomlin won the Super Bowl in 08, three playoff wins since. And by the way, those were like beating A.J. McCarron and Matt Moore for two of them. Lost to Tebow, lost to Bortles as double-digit favorites. I mean, the legacy on this guy is going to be fascinating.
It's a good recent history book on Mike Tomlin.
Yeah. For a guy who, of course, we joke all the time, the stat that everybody, you know, quotes, has never, ever had a losing season. Well, they've got to go 1-2-1 the rest of the way for that to continue. And that schedule, Kelly, is at Indy, home Cincy, at Seattle, at Baltimore. Oh, boy. We might not be joking about that stat for much longer. And by the way, so if you look at the playoff standings right now, the current right at the moment, obviously with week 14 games on Sunday having not been played yet, the Steelers now on the outside looking in, it is the Texans who take their spot. The Texans would be the seventh seed. The Steelers now on the outside looking in. So Browns, Colts, Texans would be your wild cards at the very moment in the AFC wild card picture. But you're right, Kelly, what you said is right. They are exactly who we thought they were. This is the true version of them as opposed to the Magic Beans version from earlier. We'll come back. I need contest plays. I've got bets that I've made. I hate them all.
Me too.
You and me are on the opposite side of a game, and we both hate our bets. We'll tell you what that is. Matt Brown helps us navigate through it all. Hope he can convince me on some of these contest plays. NFL with Matt next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you're looking for a betting edge this college bowl season, the VSiN experts have got you covered. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber with an introductory offer of only $9.99. VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests, tools like our betting splits, let you see where the money and bets are moving every game, and our college bowl betting guide where you get picks for every bowl game. Don't miss out on this limited time offer, though. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today to sign up for only $9.99 to become part of the Sports Betting Network. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. We get tweets at Beanie the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Nick Kendhammer. Who would have thought you would have to wrangle Brenton and not Toddy on the Megapod, laughing out loud on the treadmill? But he wasn't wrong. 1,000%, he would have had the shots of women in the stands. That's a inside Megapod joke. I had to. At one point, Brent started saying something. I had to be like, Brent? Z Free.
That's awesome. Now I got to go listen.
Z Free with the Adrian Griffin thing with the Bucks. Watching Giannis sit on the scorer's table during timeouts, reports of Portis yelling at everybody in the locker room, and everyone forgot. Terry Stotts resigned on the eve of the season. Something going on there, no doubt. Danny, I noticed what Kelly was talking about with the stands being so poorly lit. Too, while watching on TV, it's certainly abnormal, as the only other teams I noticed this with are the Lakers and the Clippers. Maybe a more aesthetically pleasing or dramatic presentation, perhaps, he says.
I think that's what it was supposed to be. Like, there was like more stage lighting for the court last night, but you know, it was still weird.
Where I grew up, the Bullets used to play, and then the Wizards after that used to play at the Capitol Center in Landover, Maryland. It was always like so dark, and I was like, why does anybody else complain about this? Turn on the lights.
Yeah, that's not cool. I mean, for a guy like me, if I'm sitting in the stands, I got to go down 10 levels with two cocktails in my hand or something. Like, I need lights on so I don't spill those.
And Podiatron. Tomlin goes from coach of the year to must be fired finally. He's not a Tomlin guy, I guess. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Friday. This kid is so kind to join us for not one, not two, but three segments. He is the host of the All Angles podcast, which he does multiple times a week by his lonesome. And then, of course, he does the show, The Handle, on the weekend with Mike Somich. He joins us now. He is the star of the greatest show that was ever canceled, Primetime Action. Matt Brown, everybody. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. Did you guys lead with the John Rahm story? I'm sure that's what we led with.
No. Kelly and I were talking about that off air
beforehand. 10 minutes before the show.
And the conversation kind of went like, Kelly, could you explain to me? My golf people aren't totally freaked out by this. What is your take on that? Just because it's so nebulous, the whole thing?
My take is this, is I'm just, do what you've got to do. I don't care. I am so incredibly sick of every one of these guys. And I know it's because it's a statement that's been given to them by Liv, but it's like, stop saying you're growing the game of golf by doing this. It is the exact opposite of growing the game of golf. You're on a, I guess they have a TV deal. If you count the CW as a TV deal, but you're on something that has no television, like it has no television deal. People can't find it. People don't know anything about it. And further, we've seen this.
Interjection, John Rahm, for those who don't know, is going to live for $300 million over 3 years. Was he world number three?
And gets his own team, apparently, and all this stuff, and ownership in the team, which I guess they think they're going to sell merch.
Sure, that's cool. Gonna happen.
You've got your high flyers, what is it, goat rangers, or range goats? Or
it's like you're sitting here, and it's kind of like, look, Gil, I know you're a huge tennis guy. I am as well, but like, we can say by and large, right? Like nobody really, really cares about tennis outside of the Grand Slams, right? 100%. I mean, like no one cares.
Except for the hardos, nobody cares.
Because it's hard to follow. Yeah. It's kind of whatever. Things happen at weird times. Same like Liv. They have tournaments all over the world. They're happening in the middle of the night.
If Świątek walked through the D, 30% of the people would recognize her. Maybe. Yeah.
And then you see boxing. Boxing when we were little, amazing. And then it got where there was like 8 belts for every division and boxing's faded into nothing at this point or whatever, right? Listen, Dana White is a lot of things, but Dana White's like, if you're going to fight in the UFC, you're going to fight in the UFC. And that's it, because he gets the brand awareness. He understands that you have to have this continuity that goes along with these guys. And like they tell the story along the way and they're identified with your brand and not like, oh, who's he fighting for this week? You know, it's not like John Jones is fighting. Oh, is he fighting in Bellator? Right. Or is he fighting in whatever? Right. No, you just know he's fighting in the UFC. And it's not like golf is not immune to that, right? Like golf, if this starts going all over the place.
Exactly what I said to Kelly.
And nobody knows where anyone's playing and wins whatever. Like people are just going to quit caring.
If we live in a betting world, but if we're not living in the betting world, it just sucks for golf.
Yeah.
It just makes the sport worse in every way.
Every single way. And like, so stop with the growing. Just do what Harold Varner did. That's why I have the utmost respect.
Harold Varner was great.
Come out and be like, they made me an offer that sets me and my next two generations up. And he's like, that's it. That's why I left. Hate me if you want to.
And isn't Rahm, Kelly was saying this, like Rahm was a guy who, when this first went down with Liv, he's like, oh, this is the terrible.
Most contradictory stuff.
Yeah.
He was the guy who literally said, it was I have enough money that me and my family are going to be good. Like this whole thing is such a sham, yada, yada, yada. And then immediately yesterday starts off on his Fox News interview. It's not about the money. One sentence,
of course not.
One sentence later, Gil.
Yeah.
But it's important for me to take care of my family's future.
So it is about the money.
So it's exactly about the money.
Just say it. I cannot stand this whole grow the game. You cannot grow the game when you are fracturing the game. It's impossible.
But help me out. I'll speak for those of us who have not followed this completely as closely as you two have. Who, by the way, we have two of the three hosts of Long Shots, the greatest podcast that has ever existed, right here on set, in Kelly and Matt. Does the fact that the Liv golfers have been able to play in the majors up until this point, do we know that that's happening moving forward? Is there a chance that that doesn't happen?
Well, so Rahm, by winning the Masters, in theory,
he has.
I mean, like he's good to go he has exemptions for the next couple of years. So like it's good for him. I don't know. I mean, apparently December 31st, I mean, I guess we still have 3 weeks to figure out if they're going to be able to play nice in the sandbox.
So this is what Kelly was saying. Yeah. They made a verbal deal that they would make a deal.
Yes.
That they'd make a deal for this basically this Super League. So I think part of Rahm's thinking is, well, if I can go make all this money on Liv and then not miss many of the events that I deem important because I'm going to be a part of this Super League, then what's the big deal? Let me go take $300 million. But as of right now, we've been through, what has it been, Matt? 5 months, 6 months of like, hey, we're going to make a deal. We just haven't made it yet.
Like I said, you guys could, the list is shorter of the things that I would not do for $300 million, right? So like, let's put it that way. Just say it. That's all I care about. Like, just say it. Don't like stop with the whole lie. I mean, I guess you're fooling a very small percentage of people by saying like, this is for the growth of the game.
$300 million.
Yeah.
Like this isn't, Like, we were like, you know, oh my God, these NBA players are making $40 million a year. Oh my God, it's out of control. Cartoon. $300 million. The top salary in the WNBA, I know, I'm not trying to have that discussion, yeah, everybody, is $257,000. Yeah. A guy on an NFL practice squad makes $287,000. The minimum NFL salary for someone who's rostered is $750,000. $300 million is what we're talking about here. These guys, like, this is not this is multi-generational, yes, forever and ever. Well,
if Matt Brown had that kind of money, he could get Isaiah Wrinkle to shave his head and all of his kids and grandkids.
Can we talk about this?
If I had that type of money, there wouldn't be anyone at Veasan with hair. Like, I would just be paying everyone to shave. Like we would come to a point where the number would meet everyone.
Matt Brown,
right here live, we'd be shaving. I'm not doing it. Gil, like, okay, I'll do it for them.
Matt Brown, in addition to hosting the All Angles podcast and also being on, of course, Long Shots and, you know, and of course, and doing the weekend show with Samich, he also, for his own amusement, offers employees X amount of money, whatever it takes to get them to do things that will just amuse Matt, like shaving hair. And so Von Wrinkle is completely hairless now at this point.
Yes. Honestly, I did him a favor. I'm serious. Like, okay. I did him a favor. But, right. I mean, you know what? He got the clippers as part of the deal as well. I bought the clippers.
I heard
shaved
that,
his head, and then he got the clippers to go along with it.
Okay.
There we go.
Week 14 National Football League. Do you view this week as those of us who handicap these things, a tough week, something that you think you have a grasp on? How do you view it as macro?
So the bets I made, I like, and then I don't like anything else on the board whatsoever.
I hate what I made.
Interesting.
Do you want to give one before the break?
Sure. Also, just real quick, is kind of a little bit of a weather week. So just
not as bad as we thought.
But like, look at Cleveland, look at Jersey, look at Baltimore, see if anything changes somewhere along the way with all of that. I think the bet that I like, you know, listen, we'll go to this one because it's the least amount of explanation. Vikings 2.5 against the Raiders. Justin Jefferson back for the Vikings. I understand that they had a decision to make with Dobbs and Dobbs was turning the ball over, but look, he had a miserable game against the Bears, but again, the Bears defense is actually playing much better over the last month and a half of the season if you really look into the numbers. And I don't think we're going to have to worry about him going out and throwing another four picks. I could be wrong, and if he does, then I'm going to lose this bet. But the Vikings are a superior team to the Raiders by nearly every single facet. And if you look, I don't give any 0 points for home field advantage for the Raiders. Like, none. Zero, right? I mean, none. Unless we go out and see Justin Jefferson out at a craps table at Park MGM at, you know, at 4 o'clock in the morning or whatever. You know, like, unless we see that. Yeah. Like, I mean, there's no home field advantage whatsoever.
Totally walking through Park MGM just to see if that happens.
So, the better team for me under a field goal was something I would... I know it's three right now. I'd probably still play it.
We talked about this, too. Like, the fact that they were evaluating the quarterback position, you're not allowed to have one bad game.
Right.
Like,
that was so
weird. Who else has that standard applied to them? We'll come back. All of Matt's week 14 picks. Nothing but the NFL. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, we got to take a break and talk about Zyn nicotine pouches. We're always debating what a team needs to do to get to number one, but Zyn nicotine pouches are already there. It's helped millions of people achieve lasting change, earning the title of America's number one nicotine pouch. Find your Zyn at your local convenience store or online at Zyn.com. That's Zyn.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. It's Gil Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin, Matt Brown, Beeson Zone, kind enough to join us as he does each and every Friday, when it doesn't get in the way of the workout. You know, he's getting it. Kind enough to join us to talk NFL. We were just talking off air before we get into some more of your picks. 30 entries in Circus Survivor. It started with $9,267,000. We know VEASAN's own Paulie Howard, VEASAN's own Adam Burke, the kid Mike Jones, L.A. Jones, who mistakenly picked the Packers for Thanksgiving. He's still alive. His mom passed away. Great stories all abound. What percentage of that 30 do you think had the Steelers last night? We don't know.
We
won't know until the deadline on Saturday. But just a speculative guess here.
I think 7 or 8 probably did.
I think so, too. I was going to say 6 came to mind. But, yeah, you might be right.
Yeah, I think 7 or 8. Because, again, it's not a – if you look through and everyone's going, well, there's all these big favorites, most of those teams have been used and or have to be saved for if you do make it to Christmas. So, like, it's not a great week from a Survivor standpoint for sure. And so I'm with you. I'm thinking a decent amount that had them available had to just kind of hold their nose and say – it's still a 6-point favorite. You know, it is what it, I know it's Mitch Trubisky, but it's a 6-point favorite.
And then they got to watch Trubisky on 4th and 2, heave it deep. Oh, brutal. Okay, we also touched on one thing before, the weather stuff.
Yeah.
So earlier in this week, a lot of folks like blanket bet a bunch of unders because it looked like there was going to be this inclement weather over a vast portion of this country. Then we find out as the week progresses, those numbers were muted, that it's not going to be quite as bad, generally speaking. Is there any general philosophy you have with that kind of stuff? Like when you hear about weather reports early in the week, are you someone who dives in immediately? Are you someone who holds back? What do you do?
Yeah, so I think we fell victim to that a lot of times on primetime action. And so I just don't do it anymore. Like, I mean, it's weather.
It changes.
Right. It moves faster or slower or is not as intense or more intense. So,
and this just in, no one really knows.
Yeah. And so a week in advance and all that stuff's coming out and you start seeing these totals just plummet and all. I'm just like, I can't get there because look, we were overreacting and stuff. So this is outside of sports betting. Like this was actually something that kind of got into learn when I was playing a bunch of DFS, right? Like, so DFS used to be guys would like see weather reports and then abandon all players from those games, whatever, which then provides people who understand how this works an advantage because then you just go in and play those guys because they're going to be far less owned. And then like saying, like 7 times out of 10, the weather doesn't materialize anyway. Maybe it's higher than that. I don't know. I don't have the numbers in front of me,
but no one's evaluated. As I always say, a known weather person is ever evaluated on this,
but I mean, it doesn't materialize half, you know, I think far more of the times than not anyway. Yeah. So yeah, I don't overreact to the weather stuff. I just don't.
Okay. Vikings, for those who missed it, first play from Matt was the Vikings. Not his top, but just the one that we could squeeze in here in the last segment. So you're going with Josh Dobbs and the Minnesota Vikings. What is number two, sir? What do you got?
Yeah, so I got a couple of different plays in that Bears-Lions game. Bears at 4. Didn't get the best of the number. It was 4.5. We go to in the middle of the segment. We're like, I think that's too many. And then, you know, I go by the end of the segment, then the hook was gone, but got in at 4. It's still 3.5, which is still playable. It's on the other side of a field goal. If you look at this Lions defense over the last 6 games, 28 points to the Saints, 29 points to the Packers, 26 points to this very Bears team, 38 points to the Chargers. Yes, they only gave up 14 to the Raiders, but if you go in and you see the Raiders have only scored more than 21 points one time all season, that's not that big of an accomplishment. And then 38 to the Ravens. This Lions defense did not take a step forward like I thought they would heading into this season. We kind of started to see them put some duct tape on the cracks last year, and we're like, okay, well, maybe if they can like figure out how to move forward here, then this will be a good defense, or at least a league average defense moving forward. Never ended up materializing. Certainly over the last month and a half of the season has not at all. Like I said, 28 to the Saints, 29 to the Packers, 26 to the Bears, 38 to the Chargers, 38 to the Ravens. Like, these give up tons of points. And this
not
Bears,
good.
No, not at all. And then since week 8, the defense is actually 31st in success rate allowed. And if you know what success rate is, it basically means you're always playing ahead of the chains here. You're getting 40% of the requisite yards on first down. You're getting 30% of the requisite yards on second down, and then the rest either on third and fourth down. And they're 31st in success rate allowed right now since week 8. And so you're getting a Bears team coming in that actually has started to look at least somewhat, let's put it this way. I'm not going to say good. What I will say is they look league average in a lot of different categories, right? Like, they look league average in a lot of different categories. And on the defensive side, since week 8, where we're talking about how bad that Detroit has been, since week 8, the Bears defense, actually 10th in success rate allowed over that same time frame, 8th in EPA per play allowed. So they have figured something out on the defensive side of the ball. And so for me, on the other side of a field goal, I think it's just too much in this. Also play the over 42. I think 42 and a half are still available out there. Anything 43 and under, 43 and 44, as you guys know, like, there's no key numbers in totals, but 43-44 lands on about 8% of the time, both those two numbers. And so I do look and think that you're going to get a Bears team that can score the football, and I honestly think that this Lions offense still is good enough to go out and score points no matter what. I think 42 is too low for this one.
Is part of your handicap here taking the Bears and the points? we joke, but I'm not really joking, that Jared Goff is a California kid who I remember is a famous game because it wasn't even that cold. Like, it was just below freezing. Like, I think it was like 30 degrees, maybe 32 degrees even on the button. And Jared Goff, this was a few years back when he was with the Rams, just looked like it was negative 32 degrees, right? And so this game, it's going to be 35. The wind will have subsided. Today in Chicago, it's 20-mile-per-hour winds, but the wind will have subsided somewhat by then. But it's still cold. Is that part of your handicap at all with him?
Listen, it certainly doesn't hurt. There's no doubt about that. It was more for me in this one was the fact that I think it's two teams that are kind of heading in different directions. Now, I'm not saying the Lions are falling off a cliff or anything like that, but certainly the Bears are on the uptick, right? And, like, the Bears are, and I don't play the whole motivational factor stuff because it's not stuff that we can handicap, but the Bears are basically on the clock. Justin Fields is playing for his job. There's no doubt about that. Like, that is for sure, right? They're two games clear. Every other team's two games clear of the Panthers at this point. It's going to be the Bears picking first. They are going to have to make a decision between Justin Fields and Caleb Williams. So,
what's your handicap on that?
Man.
We still have five games to find out.
You got five games to find out. Yeah. And then also it's kind of like if it depends on where they think they are as a franchise. If they think that they're kind of on the cusp.
If you're throwing all that money at Montez Sweat, don't you think you are?
Right. It's if you think you're kind of on the cusp and you feel like Fields is good enough to get it done, you are going to get a haul for that pick. I mean, and you're still going to, and even with that, you'll still probably be able to get Marvin Harrison, like, because you'll move down and then you'll move back up. And so you'll still be able to get Harrison, but still get a ton of stuff in return. I don't know. I would still move on from Fields. I think we have enough body of work to think that he's, I'm not saying we've seen his ceiling, but I think we've seen close to his ceiling. Mm. Whereas I don't know
how I feel about him. I don't.
Me either. Because I think I would put it like that. I don't think we've seen his ceiling yet. I think at times we've seen close to it. But I think one of his biggest problems has just been consistency, right? He doesn't put any of it together consistently.
But then here's the other thing. So what does Justin Fields look like if you have Marvin Harrison, though? I mean, like, what does he look like then? And so that's a completely different conversation, too.
Well, pump the brakes, Pat. Marvin Harrison might go back to school, okay?
Yeah. Top five pick. Yeah. Go back to school. You know what you should do? Get a year older and delay getting that second contract worth like $100 million. That's what you should definitely do. Stay and get a year older and delay getting the second contract. That's the smart play.
Caleb in L.A., that would be more tempting, but no.
Exactly.
The thing about Justin Fields is I'm going to make a bad comparison here because people are like, you're calling him Russell Wilson? No. But remember how, like, when you used to play Seattle, even when Russell Wilson was already, like, past the peak a little bit, you'd be like, oh, I don't want to bet against him because he's always, you just never know. Justin Fields is sort of getting into that. I'm not saying he's nearly as good as Russell was, but when you bet against the Bears, it is never comfortable with him.
Right.
Never.
No.
He's live in that kind of way, at least.
He's the guy that picks up the first down when you're like, you think you've won the game.
Yeah.
And then scrambles and runs around. And then he picks up the first down. You're like, oh, how is this game not over?
Yeah.
How
am I not? Can't believe I'm still sweating this.
You're like, how is this happening? And listen, you bring up Lamar, and this is something you brought up Russell, but I'll bring up Lamar. Like, listen, I'm not of the opinion that you cannot figure out how to get better, but Lamar was not a good passer. There's no doubt about that. And Lamar has gotten better over the year. It took him longer than some of these other guys for sure, but Lamar has gotten better as a passer. So if they do decide to move on from Fields, I think someone is going to be very interested in getting a hold of Fields. And these quarterback needy teams, man, there's going to be someone who comes in and says, yeah, we'll definitely snatch him up.
By the way, you brought up Lamar real quick. Like, is he sick again?
I don't know. That was weird. That was weird. I am glued to that injury. Like, I'm glued to the Twitter machine today for that because
this is his life. It's like, is Lamar healthy or not?
Well, I'm not freaking out because this has been a thing with him though for the past couple years.
It's his first practice he's missed all season.
Okay.
It's the first practice
you're saying he has immune deficiencies. Is that what you're saying?
Like, didn't he take Wednesdays off a bunch?
This is the first practice he's missed all year. So it was just weird. It's just kind of a weird thing. Now it could just be like you said, whatever. He got the sniffles. He's got to like deal with some sniffles.
But like with this Jaguars Browns game, which Kelly and I'll touch on. There's a couple of these games like you can't touch because of this stuff. What did you say?
He's got to use his Navage. You know, like that little like that thing where you like
another awesome
pump your snot through your
Or with Matt NFL other side. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
In the NBA, the game can change in an instant, and the arena can be very frigid. But no matter how the action unfolds, you know DraftKings Sportsbook has your back. This week, new customers can score 150 instantly in bonus bets just for betting $5 on basketball. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use code VSiN. The crown is yours. Skill Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin. It's Matt Brown, host of the All Angles podcast, and of course, The Handle, 7 p.m. Eastern, Saturday, Sunday with Mike Somich here on the network. Before we get into your final picks, you just had a nice, because we're also today on Shohei Watch.
Yes.
Because we think maybe today Shohei and his team will announce where he is going to play baseball moving forward. You have the rumor of the moment.
I mean, listen. This is a Canadian opera singer. So assuming he's got, like, you know, some connections within the city, someone probably fed him this. But take for this. He says, make of this what you will. Yusei Kikuchi has reserved an entire upscale sushi restaurant near Rogers Center for tonight. The reservation is made for 50 plus people.
50 plus. Yusei Kikuchi.
What does that mean?
Yeah, just saying.
Like, if you're a restaurant and someone calls, like, yeah, I'm going to show up with 50 plus people.
50, make it happen.
Isn't that just running out, like, the whole restaurant?
What he's saying. Yeah.
It's a Shohei party, is what you're saying.
I mean, that's it. This is what he is inferring, but he said, make of it what you will.
For the people out there, like myself, who don't have any idea about baseball, like, is there a baseball deadlines? Like, is there a deadline, or is there a... at any sort of point where this deal would need to happen before pitchers and catchers report?
I think he set his own deadline for Sunday.
Okay. I didn't know that.
And by the way, like, all these other moves are waiting for this to happen.
Yeah, that's the other thing, is like, you would wait on Shohei Ohtani for as long as humanly possible.
If he decided to go through his Sunday deadline, I'd be like, all right, still want you.
Sounds great, yeah.
So who do we know that he's visited with?
So it's
Dodgers?
Yeah, well, Dave Roberts let us know that happened. The Blue Jays, right? He came to San Francisco, but apparently that whole, as I said, and a guy who's lived most of his adult life in San Francisco and loves San Francisco, you take the wrong turn on that tour, he's not playing in San Francisco. Also, why would he? The ballpark sucks for hitters, you know? The Cubs were rumored. I don't think that's happening anymore. So it feels like it's Blue Jays. If you're just reading the tea leaves, Blue Jays, Dodgers, remain with Angels would be third, I guess. That's how it feels. Okay. But that's a feel.
Gotcha.
So, but according to the rumor of the moment, hot goss, this matches.
Let's put a bow on this, because, like, you know, sometimes people are very clever.
Yes.
On Twitter, you know. And so one of the responses to that is the guy goes, it was a surprise birthday party for his wife. Thanks for that. like it was a joke.
Oh my God.
No, it's a joke. No, it's a joke. But he's saying, like, he's like, it was a surprise birthday party for his wife. Thanks for putting it out there. Good job, buddy. Like, you just ruined the surprise for Yusei Kikuchi's wife.
That'd be awesome.
All right. You got it. You've got the Vikings laying the points against the Raiders. Yeah. You're taking the Bears. What was your total in that game that you liked? The over, the under?
I have the over. I have over 42. It is still sitting 42.5, 43 out there. I would still play it. Not over the 40, like I said, 43-44 is that kind of the cutoff there, because we're getting into the key-ish numbers.
Right, after that weather swayed back, Bill brought it up yesterday too. I played the over on that game at 43, so I'm still comfortable with it there.
All right, what's next? You got a couple more here.
Yeah, so I've got Bills on the money line against the Chiefs. Once I missed the 2.5, I was like, all right, I'll just play the money. I just missed play the money line. Chiefs offense, man, it's just been up and down all season long. If you look, it's like they go on these ridiculously long, like, lulls within games. And while they've been able to get by doing that against inferior teams, for example, the Raiders, in that first half against the Raiders, they couldn't move the ball against the Raiders. Now in the second half, they came around, they were able to overcome, but the Raiders are a far more inferior opponent than the Bills, who are coming to town here. Lots of injuries to monitor on the Chiefs side of things as well. Drew Tranquil, Pacheco hasn't practiced in the last couple of days. Donovan Smith, Brian Cook, these are all, like, guys that are contributors for this Chiefs team. And so, by the way, just maybe throw in your Clyde Edwards-Helaire props now if you want to do that, if anything's posted out there. Because, again, two DMPs for Pacheco in a row doesn't look great for him. And even if he does go, it certainly is going to be less than 100%. Last month, Chiefs defense has the thing that we were kind of hanging our hat on. We were like, hey, man, you know, the offense isn't as good, but the defense, right? Like, oh, the defense. Last month of the season, they're 25th in EPA allowed. They're in dropback like scenario. You can pass all over this team. They're 23rd, 24th, 25th, 26th in the last 4 weeks as well. PFF has them actually at the 22nd coverage grade over the last month and a half of the season as well. So you're now talking about a team that we were sitting here going, well, they're going to win all these games because the defense is absolutely elite. Well, now you can pass on them. And if you can pass on them, Josh Allen's coming to town, and Josh Allen is still good. Like, it's like, I think we see him throw like these kind of bonehead interceptions every now and then, not realizing that he's second in the NFL in total EPA. He's fourth in completion percentage over expectation. Pro Football Focus has a second graded quarterback overall in the NFL this entire season long. You know, it's like, it's just like we think that he, because we see the inopportune kind of turnovers, but the turnover worthy plays that we always kind of bring up, where it's like that really is the measure of how often the guy's putting the ball in danger. He's tied for 16th in the NFL. It's just a lot of his turnover worthy plays end up in picks, you know, but like the actual plays themselves, he's tied for 16th. Tua has more. Mahomes has more. Purdy has more. Stroud has more. Herbert has more. You kind of get my drift here, right? Mm-hmm. With Allen. And so I think this is a pretty good opportunity for this Bills squad to kind of take advantage of a Chiefs defense that seems to be on the decline a little bit. And, you know, if you get one of those lulls in from the offense from the Chiefs again, I think the Bills might be able to get to a lead that ends up being insurmountable.
Every time an AFC contender like the Steelers last night loses, it helps the Bills out. Mm-hmm. Are they? I've asked this question in so many different forms this week of different guests. Are they not the proverbial team you do not want to let into the postseason?
The number one.
Yeah, because I asked it to Pritch yesterday, and I told him my answer would have been the Bills. But if I said, if I come to you from the future and I said, okay, Eagles, Cowboys, Niners, NFC, Baltimore, Miami, Kansas City, AFC, if I tell you that one Super Bowl contender didn't come from that group of six, aren't the Bills sort of at the top of that list?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because you're going in, listen, some people hate him. I will go to battle with Josh Allen.
Yeah,
look, a dude with that arm, a dude that will go get me 70 yards rushing, a dude that, like, if I need the 3-yard touchdown, he is going to go shoulder to shoulder with a linebacker to get in the end zone. Like,
to his detriment, by the way. Yeah.
But, like, I'll go to battle with Josh Allen for sure.
All right. And you have one more. This is awesome. I mean, this is the thing about this week. It might be a tough betting week, but it's a great week just for football. I mean, that game's amazing. The Bills and the Chiefs. So, too, is the Sunday night game between the Eagles and the Cowboys, and you have a thought there.
Yeah, I was really hoping that we were going to get the hook on this. This opened at the flat three, and I was kind of hoping that this thing would get bet up, and it did sooner than I thought. I thought I'd have to wait until basically game day to get the 3.5. Look, the Eagles were never going to win that game against the 49ers. That was one of the absolute worst spots in a schedule you have seen in a very, very, very long time.
You like spots.
You look, and the game before goes into overtime. They're on the field for the defense is on the field for 92 plays. That's like a whole extra half a game. Yeah. It's a whole extra half. They played a game and a half. It was like the 49ers were coming off. They were not going to win that game. And honestly, I think it worked into our favor betting into this one that they got blown out as bad as they did because we got the hook so early. And I you look at the Eagles, offense is still good. You start to see from the defensive side of things with the Cowboys, like the good teams the Cowboys have played this year have been able to score on this defense. The thing is we've been knocking the Cowboys about strength of schedule, and I think rightfully so. They beat up on a lot of the bad teams. But you go back and you look, the Niners scored 42 on them. This very Eagles team, when they played the first time, scored 28 on them. Then they see the Seahawks come last week. The Seahawks score 35 on them. Yes, they're holding the Commanders and the Panthers and the Giants. You know, I mean, we're going through the Patriots, the Cardinals, the Jets, the Giants. These are all their wins. Yeah, yes, they're holding them to 10, 12, 13, 17 points. But
bullies in the playground.
Yeah, so now you get in here, a real team, real offense. On the other side of a field goal, that's really what it comes down to, right? The other side of the field goal, for me, we know it's in a dome, non-weather, all the things that we could ask for where we're not going to get any wonkiness with anything. So I think this is an offense can exploit this defense just like the other good offenses have over the course of this. And again, it's just on the other side of a field goal seems like an overreaction to me to a team that got beat down in one of the worst places on a schedule that could possibly happen. And then it got even worse with having to go into overtime the week before and play a whole extra half of a game.
3.5 still out there.
Yeah.
Abound on this one.
I prefer Marcus Mariota.
By the way, Dallas Goedert.
Oh, yeah. Who was that said that Mariota should play?
David Carr.
David Carr.
And also, Goddard back this week.
Yes. Them,
which
yes,
is another yes. big thing, right? That I mean, that is like now you have to deal, not only do you have to deal with two really, really, really good receivers, but now the middle of the field is taken care of as
well. Was David Carr's point there just to rest Hurts and get him healthy?
Yes, sort of.
Sort of.
It felt a little disguised of like, he's really not that good. I don't think Marcus Mariota's that much worse. But yes, he used it to like, yeah, you should rest and make sure he's good for the playoffs.
David Carr still suffering.
No one cares about that one seed. Right, yeah. You don't need a bye.
David Carr still suffering from all those sacks from so many years ago. Matt, as always, we appreciate it, man. Thank you. Always great to see you. The All Angles podcast, the Matt Brown family of podcasts, of course, heavily promoted. And of course, with Mike Somich, the handle. Weekend, 7 p.m. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it. We'll talk college football with the Bear next.